Good morning. How are you guys doing? Good. Good to see you. Feel free to encourage me with your love. Yeah, there we go. There we go. I need some of that. Come on. Amen. So I just want to, the theme for this morning is meditation, so I just wanted to say a couple sentences about it, and then we can pray. Meditation is the key to the anointing. Meditation aligns my thoughts with God's reality. Meditation in the Spirit unlocks the mysteries of the Bible. Ephesians 3, it says, there was a mystery hidden from the ages, which was the gospel. But Paul, his meditation in the Spirit's revelation unlocked a mystery of the Bible, and we can have that as well in our life. Meditation renews my mind inwardly and manifests itself outwardly. Ephesians 4, 22, 23, and 24. Take off the old man, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, put on the new man. Meditation brings confidence. Before David was the king, he was a shepherd boy, and he would meditate on the law of the Lord. He would read something at home, and he would go into the field and meditate on it as he was watching the sheep. And why was he so confident? Not because he knew the law, but because he meditated it, and it became a part of his life. Meditation brings confidence. Meditation brings trust. Daniel knew that the exile would only be for 70 years because he had received a letter from Jeremiah, and he meditated on it, and it became a truth to him. This is a good one. Meditation protects me from passive unbelief. Meditation protects me from passive unbelief. I think I know a scripture, and I don't meditate on it, so it never becomes real in my life. Example, Psalm 84:11. No good thing will he withhold from him who walks uprightly. How many know the verse? How many have meditated on it recently and believe it in their morning today? Meditation protects me from passive unbelief. Meditation keeps the word fresh, and it destroys familiarity. John 3:16 can be the most beautiful verse in the world if we take the time for the Spirit to minister to us in meditation. Meditation means I don't know anything and I need God to reveal it to me. 1 Corinthians 8. Meditation and obedience engraft the word into my life. James 1. The engrafted word which is able to save our souls. Being doers of the word and not hearers only. Meditation allows the Holy Spirit to bring back the word to my remembrance in John 14 so that God's thoughts can become my actions and I can be a living epistle in 2 Corinthians 3. And the last one is this. Meditation makes the word of God personal and practical. Amen. All right, so Lord, just bless these few words. And really just have your way with what you want to say to us about meditation. And we're all here because we need a word from you. And we know we need a word every single day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So let's turn to Psalm chapter 1. And we'll read a verse and talk about it a little bit. Psalm chapter 1 and verse 2, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. You know, there's nothing worse than somebody who has a lot of knowledge but no love, right? Has anybody ever told you something with a lot of knowledge but no love? And I was just thinking during the song service, I was thinking of two instances where someone has a lot of knowledge but they need an extra ingredient for the Spirit to breathe on it. And one is in Exodus 15 when the children of Israel come through the Red Sea, but then they come to a place where there's bitter water, right? There's bitter water and they can't drink it. But there needs to be the extra ingredient. And we could say in our application this morning, the extra ingredient is meditation in the Spirit, right? God asked Moses, what do I do? And he shows him a log, a tree, and he puts it in the water, and it makes it sweet. It makes the water sweet. And I was just thinking about how I could have a lot of knowledge, but I need that extra ingredient, which is meditation in the Spirit, to make something that's bitter sweet. To make a lot of knowledge, turning it into wisdom that can be applied with God's heart. Right? And the second thing was in 2 Corinthians 4, how there Elijah, I think it's Elisha, right? Elisha is with all the prophets, and somebody makes a stew, but there's death in the pot, right? They take these wild herbs and they make this stew, but there's death in the pot. And Elisha says, bring us some flour, put flour in the pot, and then feed the people. And that extra ingredient is what makes something that is deathly, it makes it sweet and is able to fill people. It's able to fill our hearts and our lives. And if we have a lot of knowledge without meditation in the Spirit, then it's death. But as soon as we add that extra ingredient of meditation in the Spirit, this knowledge can become life, right? And then a little later, the end of the chapter of 2 Kings 4, they bring some bread to Elijah, and they say, it's not enough bread for feeding everybody. But he says, just give it to them. And I think that if you only have one verse, if you only have one thought from God, you say it's not much. But God is saying, if you meditate on this, I can give you enough to feed 100 people, right? They didn't think it was going to be enough to feed the whole congregation, but Elisha said, give it anyway. Because if we have meditation on something small, God can turn it into something great. It's the same thing where the boy only had a couple loaves and a couple fish, but Jesus said, give it to me, I'll take it. And what are these among so many? But with meditation in the Spirit, something small can be something very, very large. Amen? Right? Isn't that good? So let's see. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Does it really need to be day and night? Does it really need to be in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening? I don't know, sometimes my capacity isn't there for day and night. What about you guys? Am I the only one? No, our capacity is kind of small sometimes. But God is saying in his word, on his law he meditates day and night. Why does it need to be day and night? It's because we have an enemy, right? And if we have the mind of Christ, we have the mind of Christ. And Christ wants to give us his mind in a day-to-day, practical, personal way, right? And if God loves us, who hates us? The enemy hates us. And if we have the mind of Christ, what does the enemy not want us to have? The mind of Christ. And why does it need to be day and night? It's because for every situation, every circumstance, and every moment, God has a particular thought and a particular teaching and a particular doctrine that is true in his word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every single word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And I can't live by every single word if my mind isn't occupied with his word at all times. Right? Because if I'm always meditating and I'm meditating on fresh manna every single day, then God can take a manna that is not fresh in the moment. He can bring it back to my mind and have me apply it in a circumstance that I wasn't even thinking about, but I already had a meditation on what God would want me to do in that moment, right? On his law, he meditates day and night. And just lastly, I want to think about this word delight because it could be God says to Joshua, meditate day and night on my words so that you may be careful to do all that is in the law and everything that is written in it, right? We're meditating on the word, but what does the word say? It teaches us how to live our life. So we need to know what's in the word so that we can live in it and apply it, right? But maybe it's not a delight to me. Maybe I hear the word and it's not exactly what I want to do. But why is he saying it's his delight? He's saying it's his delight. And it says in Psalm 40, verse 7, that it was Jesus' delight to do the will of the Father. In Psalm 37, if we delight ourselves in the Lord, he will give us the desires of our heart. And there's amazing thing about when we do meditate on the word. It's funny because like I studied so much, but like God just gave something else. But there's a lot about 1 Peter chapter 1 and 22. It says, purify your souls through obedience to the truth. Purify your soul through obedience to the truth. And when we meditate on the word of God, the word is pure. Every word of God is pure. Every word of God is pure and is refined in a furnace. Psalm 12, verse 6. And when purity is circulating in my mind and I'm obeying the word that's purifying my soul, in Hebrews 9, the blood of Christ purifies my conscience. And when my conscience is purified through the blood, I'm able to take delight in truly serving God, truly obeying God, because my conscience is pure, and now I'm living in the new man. And what the new man wants is being manifested in my life, because meditation on God's thoughts and God's word and God's way. And my conscience is purified, my soul is purified, and then my heart is purified in Matthew 5, 8. And in 1 Timothy 2, 22 and 23, and in 1 Peter 1, 22, my heart is purified as a result of having a meditation on God's word day and night. And that's just a little bit about it. And we can have a lot of knowledge, but meditation in the spirit and meditation with humility, it can change a lot of knowledge into a lot of love and wisdom through the spirit. Amen.
Great to be with you. It is really a privilege to be with people. Our souls are knit together by just amazing years of hearing the Word of God together. Our heart vocabulary beyond our verbal vocabulary is extremely unique. That's we gather together, creates a heart vocabulary, right? It speaks, it manifests something from God. So it's just beautiful to gather together. If you knew the, you ever wonder what it's like to speak? You know, Zane said, encourage me. Do you ever know? I don't mean that. But it's great to exercise yourself in the things of God. And actually, one of my prayers as I was standing there, thoughts was like you want to be. I want you to be exercised the way I am or was or being. And we're so sensitive to God, right? Isn't that important? And the first thing is don't exclude yourself from being just the apple of God's eye, the one that God desires today. Don't disqualify yourself from being the one that God loves. So think of yourself like that. Forget the comparison. Forget that. I wanted to actually, just before I speak, I just wanted to actually say some things about missions. And before I say that, I want to qualify that. It's what we are a part of. And we really have to understand that as the body of Christ. You know, as I look through, you know, there's the Plunketts over there. I saw the Robinses come in. I know the Velitises. I saw them earlier. They're leaving. Where did I see them? There. They're leaving this week. You know, we have missions. What happened, you know, I guess Camp Life Europe, the Polish camp just happened. Pastor Stan Collins, he's in Romania with that. Pastor Billy is in West Africa. We have the group in Richmond. Yesterday we had a group, there was Elwood Park. They cooked 400 hot dogs in Elwood Park. Okay, they had a hot dog eating contest. And that was beautiful to see. Then there was a concert, and we had people from Wilmington here. There was a concert in Wilmington yesterday, correct? And then that water's half drunk. I don't think I'll drink that one. And then we had a concert. We also had a concert in Frederick, right, last night. These are just things that we do, and it's an amazing grace that, you know, we're involved. It's beautiful to sacrifice something for God's heart to express towards people. And it's just beautiful. Pastor Jason and Pastor Eugene sharing this morning. Zane's message, we're just all, like, we're pouring out together. And your expression is, you know, we're worshiping God together, gathering together. You know, this is why, you know, like, God is recording this. You know, we're worshiping together. This is really an amazing thing that we do together. You know, thinking of the, you know, I was getting texts at like 4 this morning about the church service in Berlin. And, you know, I forgot to turn my phone off. And it was just like other things that's happening around the world. You know, probably something happened in Izmir, you know, just these different places. It's just great. The La Roses are back. It's great to see that. This week, actually, I'm going to go on a mission trip. Pastor Barry he's going to Budapest. Pastor Barry Quark, he's going to Budapest. He's going to be there for about 10 days. This week, I have the fortune. I'm going to go with my wife, and we're going to kind of believe that we just graduated from Bible college. And we're going to go on a mission trip together. And we're going to go to Germany, to Serbia, then we're going to go down to Bosnia and do a outreach in Bosnia, in Sarajevo. Then we're going to go down to Montenegro and then go down to Albania and do the Albanian camp there. And then we're going to end up either in Montenegro or Kosovo for an outreach. And hopefully, if I have enough time today, I'm going to like print some prayer cards, you know, there'll be little stick figures with pray for us. That's probably all I'll have time for. But I'll cut a piece of paper and hand them out at service tonight and just pretend I'm a missionary. And looking forward to it, really, just the way that God works. So Psalm chapter 1 is a theme, thinking with God, meditation. Zane, was like beautiful what you're saying there. Let's just read before we start with Psalm chapter 1. Let's go to Psalm chapter 40. Zane spoke about that. 40 verse 7 and 8. Then said I, lo, Then said I, lo, I come in the volume, the book it is written of me. It's like if this isn't a summation of the purpose of our life, the volume of the book, the completeness. He started to speak about obedience and how our soul is rewarded. All aspects of our soul are rewarded from the volume of the book through obedience. He says, I delight. That's a big word, delight. 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 If there's no delight in it, there's no reason to actually do it. If there's no motivation, why meditate? Okay? Delight to do thy will. When the delight is gone, subjectivity comes in. And you have to find other motivations and other reasons. And your rationale actually quickly shifts when there's no delight. There's such a covering when there's a delight. There's such a wisdom when there's a delight. There's such a protection from the enemy when there's a delight, isn't there? And yea, thy law is in my heart. Thy law is in my heart. It's not a table of stones, but it's written on a table of flesh in my heart. And so let's turn, before we go to Psalm chapter 1, let's turn to the book of Luke. Okay, Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 8, I believe. No, I'm sorry, Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. Yeah. It's Luke chapter 7, Matthew chapter 8. Yeah. No, I'm sorry. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. Yeah. And maybe I'll preface this. Well, I'll just read it. And when Jesus, verse 5, when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him. You know, this man that was a leader and that knew authority. And saying, Lord, thy servant lieth at home sick of palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. I will come and I will heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. I say unto this man, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this. And he does it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled. And he said unto them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Why was that great faith? Because that's the way that Jesus Christ thought with his Father. It resonated to him. He recognized it. He was a man that was under authority. And this is actually a great place to be, to delight in doing the will of God in submission. This is how Jesus Christ actually lived. It's not cumbersome. When you're under authority, when you're not under authority, the rational mind, it doesn't know who they are. It doesn't have the ability to live. It doesn't have the ability to think properly. This week I was with I'll just give you a story with two dogs. They were siblings or they were from the same litter. And they're 4 months old. And they got to see each other maybe for the second or third time or maybe the fourth time since, you know, they left their mother at 8 weeks. And it seemed like they had some business to catch up on. You know, like who was the greatest in the litter or, you know, something you did to me when I was a kid. And I'm serious. They literally, when they met, and you know how dogs playfully fight, right? They playfully fought for 2 hours. And I'm not exaggerating because it probably was 2.5 hours. And they took water breaks. There was blood. You know, playfully fought. They literally took it to the level where you didn't know if it was playful. The way I described it, I don't know if there's any V8ers here today, but I called it the way the V8ers would have probably have fought. You know, just to the level of like you don't know if they're really like angry at each other. And then I couldn't take it anymore. You know, we were all doing other things and you know, we just were so busy and we're like, hey, don't do that. And a dog's body would come flying in the trash can. And, you know, it would go flying, you know, into a chair. And it was like, it was, you know, they chase each other. When one got away, they chase each other. They're on a slick floor and they would just go flying. And I couldn't take it anymore. So, like, I took dominion and I took control and I trained them. Because the word law in Psalm chapter 1, you know, when we delight in God's law, in the ancient Hebrew, it actually means the throwing of the finger. The throwing of the finger. And this is what Jesus Christ marveled at in this centurion. At the throwing of the finger in my clean conscience. It's like, I obey. That is the richest life. That is the fullest life. That's why Jesus marveled at it. It took dominion over those dogs. And you know what? When they were fighting, they had a terrible time when they were not under authority. When there was no one that had dominion over them. They were going to destroy each other. They were not productive. As soon as someone took dominion over them, I made them sit, lay, stay, follow, come. And you know what I even made them do? Even taught them in 10 minutes. Taught them how to kiss. The two sisters should kiss, and they started to kiss. And this is what God is saying, you could say, in Psalm chapter 1. Because the first verses, we can go there and we can read this. But just before we go there, look at verse 11. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west. Oh, under that authority. And what are they going to have a part of? The faith of Abraham. The blessedness of Abraham, where God does not impute iniquity. The blessing of Abraham, where God justifies somebody by faith and gives him his righteousness. This is amazing. God never wants us to stop in our position. Frustration happens in our Christian life when there's no experience. But today, actually, in Psalm chapter 1, it speaks about our experience. We want an experience. I want to experience where the blood in Hebrews chapter 9 cleanses my conscience. And I obey God. And my conscience and my will are functioning. And my whole soul, my self-consciousness, you know, is so, you could say, Self-consciousness, you have to talk about that. It's dead, but it's self-consciousness when it's not dead. It's destructive. But when self-consciousness is dead, then it can be resurrected. And this is an amazing thing that happens when we, you could say, like Zane was saying, I don't know how to meditate on God day and night. But inside my soul, when God does that, points the finger, yes, yes, yes. That's meditation on God day and night. I'm available to that. I'm going to fight and draw blood. That dog, those dogs were literally, the house smelled like wet dog. They had saliva, you know, from their abdomen up. It was just saliva. They just, you know, they're just like that. They were just ugly. They looked terrible. So I guess I was talking about delighting. Let's go to Psalm chapter 1. But I just think, you know, just the options in life, you know, speaking about the ungodly, you know, verse 1, like someone that starts to go off the path a little different way, and it's like, no. And I don't, like, give eye to it. You ever, like, know you could, like, you ever try to live in temptation without temptation? You know, it's like, oh, no, I didn't look. No, I didn't look. I just keep walking. And then you kind of walk back, and like, no, I didn't look. And it's like, that's the type of way that we can think when we don't enjoy the clean conscience of, like, this is the way. This is my law. Submit to it. You're under dominion. I've not seen such great faith in all of Israel. Like, that's obedience. It sounds cruel if you don't know the nature of God. But the blessed man knows he doesn't want to live listening to the ungodly or the sinner. The one that's always missing the mark. It's crazy to be educated, to be indoctrinated by somebody that's always missing the mark. Or the person that speaks that foreign language called scorning. Have your ears ever just like screeched because of scorning? Sometimes people can't say a good word about somebody else or the situation. It always comes from some scornful perspective. The blessed person recognizes that because they're under authority. When there's a good God and he's going to bless me, I'm available. So, what is it? His delight. There it is. The volume of the book. The volume of the book. Just say it, God, and I'll do it. Just speak to my conscience, and I'll do it. I'm available. I know it will bring a blessing in my life. Blessed is that man that has this delight, and he meditates, He's just available to this anytime. A servant, what is he? What is he available to? A bond slave. He's just available to this. God throwing the finger. It's such a liberating way to live, and it brings, it's amazing clarity when it comes from God. And your spirit is pricked, and God says, there's my thought. There's my way. Especially then it becomes habitual. Okay. He shall be like a tree. The tree speaks of uprightness. A tree. He's like a tree. He's upright. You see him. You notice him. He's not a bush, you know, that's tossed to and fro. It's like, you know, not a, just like, you know, a tumbleweed. He's a tree. He has the righteousness of God. He's recognized. All kinds of decisions have gone into his life. He's got years and rings around him. And he's planted in a place where this engrafted word doesn't come on. The engrafted word goes through his roots. This is where the engrafted the words go. They go into our roots. They get assimilated through the roots. The secret nutrients gets engrafted through the roots. That's what gives the tree its nutrients. And it grows upright. That's the type of waters that he's planted by. He's not planted by legalism where you engraft some works on top of him. And this tree is going to have fruit in the dry season. Makes sense, right? He's planted by the waters. And then it is, whatsoever he does prospers. Makes sense, doesn't it? Okay, God, I've not seen just faith in all of Israel. I believe in that principle. You threw the finger. I agree. I surrender. It's great when our thoughts go through death, isn't it? Our thought life, they can go through death. Not my will, but your will, God. Then he says this. The ungodly are not so, they're like chaff. And let's just skip down to verse 6. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, right? There he is. He's a tree. I have not seen such faith in all of Israel. Yeah, he's included. He's one of those from the east and the west, and he's part of Abraham's faith. There he is, fellowshipping with Isaac and Jacob. There's a righteous man. There's a righteous man. There's a righteous man. He loved God's mercy. There's a righteous man. He agreed with me. He's under authority. I have dominion over him. What's wrong with authority when we know the goodness of God? It's the most beautiful word we've ever heard. God says, well done. And so, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous. This is amazing. But the way of the ungodly, because this speaks about chaff, it shall perish. And this actually speaks, could say, about hell, because it speaks about separation from what is organic, separation from what's living. It speaks about being alone. No wonder Christ loved that centurion's way of thinking. It was the way Christ thought. It produced life. It was part of the body of Christ. It was God's mind. He was meditating. He was living, you could say. He was encompassed. His whole way of life was consumed. In other words, he was meditating day and night. His whole being was consumed by the principles, the way that God works. He's meditating. That's the way God works. That's the way God works. Like Nick said, I don't know what he's going to say tonight, but I know the way he's when he works. When he says something, I'm going to say, I agree. God's that's the way we meditate. We listen to God. It's like prayer. Prayer in our minds. Okay, so, yeah, verse 4. The ungodly are not so, but they're like chaff, which the wind drives away. I'd rather be a tree, wouldn't you? Let's see, it's like, raise your hand. You want to be a tree or chaff? Who wants to be chaff? No, it's like a duh question, right? We don't want to be chaff. Throw the finger, God. I agree. Okay. Let's just read it and then we'll close. Okay. This is Psalm chapter 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Let's read that again. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he throws the finger. He meditates day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in his season. Don't worry about your season. Your plant, don't compare. Don't look around. If you're planted by the waters, you love that finger throwing, you're fine. You'll have fruit in your season. That's the way it works. It doesn't work any other way. You can't produce fruit without loving the throw of the finger. You will produce fruit when you love the throw of the finger. That's the way it works, right? It doesn't work another way. You can't add something to your life, some fruit, going another way. It won't work. So we get used to God throwing the finger, and that's all we know. That's our meditation. God's throwing of the finger, and we agree. It deals with, you know, evaluating the fruit in our life so we know what to do. You should not wither, and whatsoever it does, it prospers. The ungodly are not so, but are like chaff, which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the way you speak to us, the way you teach us. God, thank you for your dominion, your authority. Thank you for the way in Psalm 40, Christ had a delight, and understandingly so, why he delighted in the volume of the book. We thank you, God. If there's anyone here this morning, they don't know Christ personally. They don't know if they're going to heaven. They don't know where they stand in the day of judgment. Christ came. He took upon himself the sins of the world. He took upon your sins, my sins, to become our Savior. He was crucified and was raised from the dead so that we can make a decision to receive his action towards us or not. And today, if you want Christ in your life, say, Christ, come in. I believe what you did. I'm available for you to move into my life. And if you're saying that today for the first time, just raise your hand. Just raise your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Father, just bless these decisions with your incredible kindness to their soul and the filling of the Holy Spirit, God, and show them how to walk in the Spirit and to love your authority in their lives, God. We thank you. In Christ's name, amen. Amen.